to our fifth episode of this Hope Canteen podcast. It is kind of amazing now. We have been at this for 5 weeks. My name is Steve London. I'm the pastor at St. Thomas Anglican Church. I'm joined again, as always, by Michael Rolfe, honorary assistant here, and Stephanie, both here at St. Thomas and at St. Columba in Beaumont. So great to have you both here. How are you feeling now, 5 weeks into this pandemic?
Yeah, we've survived the first month, and yet, so now it's starting to wear a bit, because the things that were novel at the beginning are routine now, and so, yeah, it's a little harder, but we're surviving. We're doing all right.
Less novel now, yes.
Yeah.
Stephanie?
Yeah, same for me, I think. It would be nice if things could go back to normal, but we're past rushing to try to get everything in place, and now we're having to look at the long term in a way that we never were expecting to have to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sort of had that energy to get through Easter, so to speak, and I think we did that, and now we're on the other side of Easter, and so now there is kind of a question mark as to how long. I think somebody mentioned today to me that they see some of the cracks showing, and I think that's probably true. So even more important for us to hold together as a community in best way that we can. So this week we are talking about the gospel lesson coming up for Sunday, and it is one of the most interesting lessons. It's the story we often call the story of Doubting Thomas. If you would like to go and look it up and read it for yourself before we talk about it, you can pause the podcast here. It is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Again, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Just a quick synopsis. It actually takes place over an entire week. So the first part of the gospel, we have the disciples, they're meeting together. The doors are locked for fear of the temple authorities. They don't know what's going to happen. Jesus has been crucified. There have been rumors that the tomb has been opened, but they don't know what that is, and they're quite scared. And then suddenly they find Jesus in their midst, and he says to them, "Peace be with you." And then he says something really interesting. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, the tension of the story is set up because one of the disciples is not there. Thomas is not there. And the next scene takes place actually 1 week later, when Jesus shows up again. And Thomas has not believed any of this. It must have been a tough week for him living with the disciples. They're all very excited and he doesn't believe it. But Jesus shows up and says again, "Peace be with you." And then he gives these interesting physical proofs. He says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And then Thomas is the first person in the New Testament to exclaim, "My Lord and my God." So that is what we are talking about today, Thomas, and perhaps some other things as well. There's a lot in here, so maybe that's a good place to jump off and get our conversation started. What do you all think?
Yeah, so over the course of this week after Easter, we've been reading snapshots of Jesus' resurrection appearances and also how the disciples responded to those. So, for example, the reading from Acts that we're not going to talk about today, but is one of the readings for this Sunday, we see Peter, who's become bold with his clarity and confidence. And in this gospel reading, we also get to see Thomas wrestling this through. So I'm wondering how we see Thomas coming to terms with the resurrection.
That's a good question. I often think Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything?
Well, Thomas is a character. He's one of those where I wish I could hear his tone of voice, because sometimes he comes across to me as a sort of an Eeyore personality, not just a doubter, but one, "Oh, yeah, sure, it can't be that." Thomas is the one who, earlier in the gospel, when the disciples wanted to go off to Bethany to be with Jesus, or rather, they talked about it, but they were hesitant to go. He was the one who said, "Let's go to Bethany. We can die with him there."
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of, some would say, courageous, although it also comes across as a sort of a negative personality. He's also the one who, earlier in the gospel, Jesus had called them to follow, and it was Thomas who said, "Hey, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way to get there?"
You right,
know,
he
a very negative sort of reaction to Jesus. And now you wonder whether he trusts the fellow disciples, because they've told him, "Hey, we've seen the Lord." And oh yeah, right. Yeah,
right.
Unless I see the marks in his hands and his feet, I'm not going to believe. Even though it's intriguing, because at the beginning of this passage, Jesus comes in and the first thing he does is show them his hands and his feet, so that you know that he, it's as though Thomas wants to have the same experience that they've had, but we cast him as a doubter in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you're talking, it makes me wonder if Thomas is actually a really practical person, because like all the disciples were gathered in this room, and they're obviously, they're back in this room in the second part a week later, and Thomas wasn't there. And you know, he's probably the guy who's off buying their groceries for them. You know, he's the one who's actually had the courage to leave this upper room.
Yeah.
And he's off doing something, whereas everybody else is in hiding for fear of the Jewish authorities. So yeah, I wonder if he's actually just really practical, you know, really I need to see it, and I'm gonna make sure we have what we need and all that stuff.
I have to say, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about the present day circumstances and how so many are hiding in their homes and for fear of going out, and then others are saying, no, I got to get out there and at least get the groceries,
the toilet paper.
Yeah, it's the same sort of experience.
But I think this reading actually also speaks to that. Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." And one of the things that I really like about that, you know, of course we know that word peace, we don't know what language he spake, probably Aramaic. But if he's resonating with the Hebrew, it's of course shalom. And shalom is a much deeper word than our kind of normal day understanding of peace, which is just the absence of things that are bad. But shalom is a much more vibrant, the idea that even in the midst of danger, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of doubt, dare I say, God's peace can rest with them and be a central part of who they are. So it's this great gift that Jesus is giving them. And I wonder if that's one of the things we're looking for in this time of isolation. I mean, even in the midst of stress and physical distancing, we're still looking for this peace that Jesus gives to his disciples.
Yes, definitely. That's a word for today, clearly.
This is one of the first places Jesus actually meets the disciples who completely abandoned him. So for him to walk into their midst, mm-hmm. and not be angry at them, but actually say, "Peace be with you," it's actually the sign of an act of forgiveness.
So this is a restoration.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting you say that, because of course it's also tied then with the Holy Spirit, which is then also tied with the forgiveness of sins. One of the interesting things is this question of they're meant to be peacemakers, right? Forgiving sins. And this question, it actually came up as I was thinking through this podcast with Stephanie, you know, if you retain the sins of any, what does that mean? And it seems to mean, according to one of the sources that I read, the idea is that part of peacemaking is naming those things that hold back peace. So patterns of violence, perhaps, can't just be ironed over, but have to be named and dealt with. And so this is part of this function. So peacemaking, obviously given here, not just to restore them, but also their calling as well.
Yeah, and this retaining the sins of any there retained, it's not done in a spirit of vindictiveness, it's done in a spirit of bringing peace, which is a continuation of the ministry that Jesus received from God the Father and is passing on to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the new creation.
It's almost as though he's handing over authority to them, though. Like, here's some work that I've been doing, and now you have authority to continue the work here on earth, the work that I've begun and will continue to do, even though I will not always be with you. in the physical sense.
I love the way you put that. Yeah, it brings to mind that quote by Teresa of Avila, who says, right, Christ has no hands in the world but your hands, and no feet in the world but your feet. So yeah. We are sent out as the body of Christ to do this work.
Yeah. I wanted to ask if you think that it's actually a problem that Thomas doubts.
I actually don't. Again, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning. I think he gets a bit of a bad rap. I think we misunderstand doubt. When I looked up that in the Greek just to see what it said, it's interesting because it's not actually believe in the sense that we say the word believe. It's more of faith as a verb. So Jesus is literally saying, Thomas, do not unfaith, but faith. And what I take that here is this commitment, so to step out, Thomas. It's not doubt in the same sense that we understand it. You know, if we ask people to not doubt, to not ask questions, to not wrestle, then they're not going to grow. Like I just know in my own experience, wrestling with hard issues and not even sure sometimes about aspects of my Christian faith and really wrestling with that and praying with people and talking with people and reading, like that's always how I've grown. It's never been through blind faith.
Faith and doubt have to go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
It just... Yeah. You can't have one without the other, I guess, in one sense. I mean, if we never doubted, we'd have no reason to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because faith is trust at a time when perhaps we feel some uncertainty, and we need that. And doubt encourages us to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me that certainty is actually one of the marks of fundamentalism. That if you're completely certain, then you have no room to grow. You have no room for a God who's bigger than you are and is doing things that are more than you understand.
Mm-hmm. I guess I see Jesus as saying, do not hesitate, but step out, follow me. I guess the reason I think that is I've just the juxtaposition this week in morning prayer, we read about the Matthew reading where they gathered on the hill in Galilee, and it said they saw him, they celebrated, but some doubted. And it's kind of it's a different word in that context used in the Greek, but N.T. Wright says the better translation would be hesitate. The idea being that, yes, they believe who Jesus is, but sometimes when you're called to a serious task, you hesitate. You say, well, I don't know. This is the right thing to do, but... And I think Jesus is asking us to step out and to commit to this way of life, this peacekeeping way of life, this new creation way of life, this resurrection way of life, this restoration way of life, which is hard, to be honest.
When Matthew says that some doubted, when you read it in that sense, it's almost as though the suggestion is that some fell short of the mark. They didn't quite match up with where they were supposed to be.
Right.
But in this passage that we're reading this Sunday, it's all right. You know, it's saying that doubt is not something that's bad. At least that's the way I read it.
Well, and I think the other thing, we have to look at the artistry of the writer of John. I think he's constructed this story very carefully, and Thomas is the instrument that John points to help us who follow years and years later to believe ourselves. Because it's no accident, Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe. And that's us. Like, we're here centuries and centuries after this story.
Yeah.
Reflecting on this moment. And I think John meant us to.
Yeah,
it's this this voice coming to us from over centuries saying, this is that you may believe.
Mm-hmm. So as we look at this thing, obviously we read scripture in our day and time to see what it says to us now. And I just wonder what your thoughts are as to what it might say to people who are in their homes and physically isolated right now. What can we take from this?
I think one thing is that if you're in your house with the door closed, Jesus can get through closed doors.
That's right.
Jesus can show up anywhere that you are.
Yeah.
He's not limited to to a particular place and time.
Yeah, make sure you wash your face in the morning because Jesus might show up.
Jesus.
Honestly, I don't think he'd care if your face was dirty.
It reminds us of our morning prayer. Sometimes we keep the camera off if we don't want people to see us.
Right.
Another thing that I noticed in this is that Thomas doesn't actually touch the wounds. Like when Jesus says, here's the wounds, put your finger in this, put your hand in this. But Thomas never actually does it.
No.
And I wonder if it's maybe not seeing the wounds, but if it's maybe his voice again that allows Thomas to recognize him, just in the way that Mary Magdalene
right.
does. And for us now who don't have Jesus in the flesh and who haven't experienced these things firsthand, maybe we can still experience Jesus, meet Jesus in the way Thomas did through his voice.
That's great. I think the thing that I would end with is this peace be with you, shalom. That wherever we find ourselves, the peace is not meant to mean that everything is right and good. I mean, that is the ultimate goal towards which it is. But the disciples never found that in their lifetime. But they knew the peace of God, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit with them. And when Thomas sets this up, my Lord and my God, I think that's a peace we can hold on to. Like, that's a real abiding peace. And so I think that's what I would hold on to out of this reading.
I would too. I think that's why it was chosen to be part of the lectionary. We need this. We need to hear this passage.
Yes, I think that's right. That's actually probably a great place to end. Keep reflecting on this. We love doing these podcasts. Thank you again for taking the time to listen and to give your time. And I think all of us would agree. We would say, peace be with you in this Eastertide.
We'll talk again next week.
Yeah. All right. Bye for now.
Bye.